So last week we started our series. It's a short series, and we call it "It's All About Me." Now, last week I talked about following Jesus and how really when we say it's all about me, it's not about you. It's about Jesus, and he is the one that is saying it's all about me. He's the only one that is able to say that. Now, wouldn't you know that every time we get up here to preach, whether it's me, Angel, Mike, Ed, there is an opportunity for us to make sure we practice what we preach. So as soon as we get out here and we leave, after we preach a message, and y'all are like, oh, I'm convicted. Yeah, we're getting tested too. And so it's always great when we have an opportunity to practice what we preach, right? Because that's God's way of having his checks and balances to make sure we're not just out here doing whatever we want, right? So wouldn't you know that as soon as I started trying to put my sermon to practice, Satan was trying me. He was pulling out all the stops. He was coming for my neck. And really, the thing that helped me through this week was this song I found by KB and Andy Mineo. And I was like, you know what? Not today, Satan. So if you never heard it, listen to it real quick. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I look like I ain't got rhythm just because I just didn't let go. But when I was at the house this week, I was going off when that song came on. But really, that's what you got to say, because Satan is going to come for your neck every moment of every day because he's not trying to let you follow Jesus. And so when you listen to this song, you feel a little hype. You're ready. It's just like before a football game. You got your pregame music and you're ready to go. And then you get out there and the fight is real. And when the feelings fade, when the emotions wear off, when all the things that you felt when you were hyped up and the music was going, when that's all gone, Jesus is saying, remain in me. And so the next sermon today, the next installment of our All About Me series is Remain in Me. Everybody awake yet? Y'all awake now? I got to run another song back? Okay, all right. I will let you know with about 98.9% certainty there will be no dancing or rap music next week, so you will be okay because Mike is preaching. All right. John chapter 15. And we're going to read the NLT today. And if you don't have your Bible or a device with the Bible app loaded on it, we're going to have it up here on the screen. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Are you there? Say there. If you need some more time, say hold up. All right, I'm going to go anyway. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you, so remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned, but if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Now, here in John 15, we're kind of nearing the end of what could be considered Jesus' farewell discourse. John 13 starts out what we call the Last Supper, by Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And so then we move through, and Jesus is giving his disciples lessons about what it means and what it's going to take for them to continue to follow him when he's physically no longer there for them to follow. Now, he knew, just like all of us, that it's all good when he's right there. He knew they would keep following him as long as they could see him. But they needed to provide the lessons. He needed to provide the lessons for them so that when he disappeared, they still knew who was the source. And so when we pick up here in chapter 15, they're in the middle of that Last Supper. And right before Jesus is about to be betrayed, he's telling all of them, including his betrayer, I am the vine. I am the source. I am the only way your life will be sustained, and God is the one tending the garden. With that knowledge, he's saying, remain in me. If you stay connected to me and I am connected to you, you will bear much fruit. Now, one of the first things we notice in the passage is that pruning happens by his words. Now, how many of us are actually gardeners, like real life gardeners? Miss B, Avis, like it's three people. So when you talk about pruning, many of us don't even understand the concept. It just don't sound like something that I want. But really, pruning can be productive if it's done the right way. Is that right, Miss B? Okay, I'm just making sure, checking my gardening skills. I mean, I grew up in North Carolina in the country, but I didn't really like bugs like that. And I was the baby, so my grandfather didn't really make me do nothing. But I know enough to know that pruning, if you were to prune something the right way, it'll allow the trees and the branches to continue to grow and to produce even more than they were producing before. But also there's pruning of just straight up cutting off. Like you're no longer useful. And the Bible says that God is the one doing that pruning. But it's Jesus' words that allows us to feel it. You ever read something from the Bible and it just really pierced you? Like it just cut your heart all up? That's pruning. When your character is being developed, when your heart is being changed, when you're being moved to look more like Jesus, that is the word pruning you. And it makes it clear whether we're connected or disconnected from the vine. Because if you see the word and there's something that should pierce your heart and it doesn't move it at all, that might be an indicator that you're not connected to Jesus. And really, Jesus, when he says remain in me, he's saying two things. Stay connected to me and stay connected to my body. And so verse 5, it says, those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit. Jesus clarifies that there's this reciprocal arrangement that happens. There's you abiding in him and him abiding in you. He's connecting what you need. He is who you need. And so a lot of times we talk about fruit, and he's saying you will bear much fruit. We talk about fruit, and sometimes if we've been around the church for any amount of time, you start talking about fruit, and people automatically start thinking conversions. How many people are converted to Jesus? How many people got baptized? And really, that's not the fruit Jesus is talking about here. That's a byproduct of that fruit that he's talking about. But really, Jesus is talking about the fruit that we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He's talking about the fruit that we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Write those down, because I'm not about to read them. But I want you to write these things down, because in order to remain in Jesus and abide by his words, we have to know what his words are, right? And so when you look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, you see this list. You see this list of characteristics that truly are the result of staying connected to the vine. You see these things like love, joy, patience, peace, endurance, faith, gentleness. It's a long list. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it says, love is patient. I'm still stuck on that one. Anybody else? Anybody else have to fight to get past patient to kind? Like, I'm like, God, you set the bar real high in this mug. Like, love is. But love is a result of staying connected to the vine. Have you ever found yourself like lacking love and lacking patience and lacking kindness? It might be you're lacking Jesus' word working on your heart. Because when you find yourself lacking those things, you realize that this is an indicator that I may be a little disconnected. But the great thing about it is God doesn't let, he doesn't just let us just, like, you got to do a lot of work to just totally disconnect. Because God really chases us. He chases after us and he says, you know what, you just need a little snip here. Just, we'll work that out. You're good. You just need to be pruned just a little bit. Because yeah, I think about this week and I'm like, man, I'm glad I got the word. Because I really was like, not today, Satan, every day. Every single day. But 2 Peter verse chapter 1, in verse 9, it says, if you possess these things, in increasing measure, if you continue to work on these things each and every day, then it will prevent you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of Jesus. And so you see how it all works together? Like, if we're not reading, if we're not making a decision to follow Jesus and then remain in Jesus, then those things prevent us, not being connected prevents us from being able to grow. Because that's what it's all about. Like, this whole vine analogy that Jesus uses, vines grow. Who's ever been to Wrigley Field in Chicago? Who's ever seen Wrigley Field in Chicago? Quiggs, I know I can count on you for baseball, man. Y'all need to get on it. Baseball, the best sport ever invented. Oh, y'all some haters. It's okay. It's fine. I got Quigley on my side, all right? But at Wrigley Field, the wall is overgrown with vines. Like, they actually take care of the vines. Most of us look at weeds in the yard and we're like, nah, that's got to go. I'm going to spray that down. I'm going to call somebody. I'm cutting that out. They actually take care of their vines. But the thing that's amazing about it is that that is a hallmark of that particular park, because the vines are so beautiful, so luscious, so healthy. And really, when we talk about Jesus being the vine, that is what we want our relationship with God to look like. That is what it should look like if we're connected. Healthy, vibrant, growing, consistently building. And so my question to you is, what do you look like? Because you can fool these people around you, but every single day you got to go home. And every morning you got to wake up. And I hope you look in the mirror before you walk out the house, because you might have a little snot or something. But before you walk out the house, who is the one person you got to see? I said I like talking back. That's a real question. Who do you have to see? Yourself. And when you look in the mirror, are you excited about the person you see? All right, then, Darius. Glad to know you excited about who you see. Because really, I hope everybody at some point is excited about the person that's looking back at them. And if you're not, you're here. And so it's an opportunity for you to recognize that that is step one to liking the person you're looking at in the mirror. It's all a domino effect. If you start with love, you grow in your patience, grow in your kindness, grow in your goodness, it's only a matter of time before it plays out in your relationships. It's only a matter of time before it plays out in your friendships with other people. It's a matter of time before it plays out in how you give and love other people. But you got to start with you. And so when we talk about it's all about me, you know, it is a play on words, and we made it that way on purpose. But really, connecting to Jesus individually, that's important, but that's not the whole story. If you've been studying the Bible, and you've really been growing in your relationship with God, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What is stopping me? If somebody's been sharing their lives with you, if somebody's been sharing the word of God with you, ask yourself, what is stopping me from connecting to the source? From really tapping into the source? Is it your friends? Does that turn up every Saturday night? Is your desire to do your own thing, your way? Is it the fact that you're so talented and so gifted and so good at everything you do that you don't really see a need for God. I mean, because really, that was me. I was so good at finessing my way through life, I ain't care. But really, think about your phone. Everybody has an electronic device, whether it's an advanced smartphone or not. Your phone has a battery. Look at your phone. How much battery life does it have? Now think about, by the end of the day, how much battery will you have left? You see, you got all these apps, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and everything draining your battery all day, every day. And so by the time you get home, you got to make a decision whether or not you're going to plug in your phone or let it die. Right? And so if y'all ain't figured out where I'm going with this yet, here's what I'm saying. Right? Jesus is saying, remain in me, because you got life kicking you, pushing you, pulling you, drowning you. And he's saying, look, I am the source. I am the one you have to plug into until you make it. Like, if you don't make a decision to plug into me, you're going to run out of gas. You're going to run out of battery. And you have to take everything in you to say, not today, Satan. But as I connected with this scripture and dug in a little bit more, and I alluded to it earlier, I realized sometimes we can be tempted to say, you know what? This is my relationship with God. It's just me and God. I'm good. I can stay connected to Jesus by myself. But Jesus said, remain in me, which also means remain in my body, connected to my church. If Jesus is saying remain in me individually, he's also saying remain in me corporately. And so he's calling us to remain in fellowship with his body. If there's anything that plagues the plan and the mission of Jesus, it is individualism. Because we can go off, do our own thing, and think, yeah, I'm okay without relationships. I'm okay without staying connected. I'm okay without talking to people about my life that I've messed up to this point, but somehow I'm the genius that can control all the things that happen. But really, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying remain in me, which also means remain in my body. Here at The Path, we have 6 core values. 1, Jesus is Lord. That is first and foremost. If Jesus is not the master, if he's not Lord, if he's not in control, if he's not the one you're following, then the rest don't even matter. But then 2 is, the Bible is the standard. Not YouTube University. Not everybody who is just happens to be a genius on whatever field they decide to put credentials in front of. But then love is the motivation. And so in order for us to actually love, we got to be connected, right? Y'all see how that works? But then healthy one another relationships, which means you got to have friends. When Satan is coming for your neck, if you don't have friends, I promise you, you are getting taken out. And I'm not talking about those friends that you walk by and you're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm great. I'm perfectly fine. Everything is good. My relationship with God is good. My life is good. No, your life probably is terrible and you ain't told nobody yet. And so then it's commitment to the local congregation. That's the 5th. Why? Because if you're not committed somewhere, and you're not planted somewhere where somebody can help you, then what are you doing? You're just floating around. How many plants you seen flourishing and floating? Let me know. Because really the ones I see that flourish are the ones that are rooted and are getting fertilized and able to grow. It's all right. Yeah, y'all ain't got to say nothing. It's fine. And then the 6th one is submission to spiritual authority. I just told y'all, God checks us all the time. And so you can trust, I promise you, he works on us each and every day. But why is this important? Because Jesus is giving the disciples in John 15 these last lessons, and he knows that it's going to be a challenge for these men and for everyone that came after him to actually stay connected, to stay connected to each other, to love each other, to trust him, to trust the process. Because what happened as soon as he got taken off, what happened? They scattered like roaches. Because, like, Jesus just said a couple hours earlier, stay in me, remain in me. And then trials come, pew, they gone. But it's our nature when times get hard to seclude ourselves, cut ourselves off, and think we can fix it. So I got a little help here. You see, these are two branches, right? Now, what do y'all notice about this branch versus this branch? This one got leaves. Leaves nice and green. They soft. I hope that's not poison ivy. But you see, both of these are disconnected from the source. They're both disconnected from the tree, right? But let me tell you, this is what happens when you decide not to be connected and remain in Jesus, in his body. You can be flourishing a little bit. You can have some greenery. You can look like there's an imitation of life. You know, because really, when you just get disconnected, you just drift a little bit, it still looks like God is working in your life. It still looks like God is using you. It still looks like you're bearing the fruit of being connected. But what happens is over time, eventually, you start looking like this. And you don't realize that it started here. But what happened was, over time, as you drifted, that's why Hebrews says, be careful that you do not drift away. What happens when you drift is that eventually, because you're not connected to the source that allows you to keep growing. And so over time, when life keeps blowing you down, beating you up, dragging you, you end up looking like this, dead, beat up, torn up, disconnected, and you wonder why life sucks. And so what I'm saying to you is no matter where you are, whether you are following Jesus already and you need to be reminded, or you're on the cusp where you don't know whether or not you want to follow Jesus because you don't want to give up your own individuality. No matter what it is, Jesus saying, to follow me means to remain in me. You know, God never intended this to be a solo sport. If he did, he would not model it in the form of the Trinity. Like, if God wanted this to be a solo sport, he wouldn't have existed in community himself. But because he chose to exist in community as the Godhead, and then chose to exist in community when he came to earth and lived with these 12 men as he did his ministry, then what makes you think that we can do better than Jesus? What makes us think? And so, just leave it right here. And I'm going to go ahead and get off here because we got something amazing happening. Today there's somebody getting ready to make Jesus Lord. And this is just the beginning. But this is a reminder for everybody who has at one point said, Jesus is Lord. Y'all come on out. This is the beginning. First is follow me. But then it's remain in me. But then, next week y'all are going to hear it, it's imitate me. And so Jesus is saying, through hardship and financial situations, remain in me. Through marital difficulty and divorce, remain in me. Through insecurity, doubt, and regret, remain in me. Through fear and rejection, and so I'll close with this. C.S. Lewis said, relying on God has to begin all over again every day, as if nothing had yet been done. Let that sink in. Relying on God is not a one-time thing. We don't just rely on God when we make a decision to follow him. We rely on him each and every day. And so right now we're about to take communion. And the good thing about this time is is that it helps us to be reminded how much we had to and continue to have to rely on God. Communion is just a reminder of the crucifixion of Jesus. Him making the decision to leave heaven, to undergo so much mockery, difficulty, and pain for us to have an opportunity. And so as we take the bread, it represents his body. It was broken, bruised, battered, beat up, cut. And we take the juice that reminds us of the blood that he shed, just so that you can have an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to follow you, and then I'm going to remain in you. And really, if you don't know what the cross is about, right after church at 11:45, we're having our journey class. And really, the journey class, last week we talked about what it meant to seek God and what is his word. Why is it important? But today, the class is about the cross, the crucifixion, because that is the cornerstone of our faith. Without Jesus being killed, being buried, and being resurrected, there is no Christianity. So let us pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for being the God that loves, being the God that embodies all of the characteristics that you desire us to embody. God, thank you for being the God that models sacrifice and selflessness so that we can have a perfect example of what it looks like. God, I pray that you will continue to remind us through this time of communion and reflection that your sacrifice was not without consequence. And God, I pray that as we reflect, we can be reminded that it's only because of this that we have a bridge to your holiness in our sinful, unholy rebellion. God, we love you, and we pray all of this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.